family shows no interest. Their heart just seems so hard. Lord, try my best to reach them. Their heart just seems so hard. Lord, what can I do to help bring them back to you? Lord, my family's lost and dying, and my words just don't get through. I can pray until the walls come down, till there's healing all around. That's something I can do. I can pray in my secret place, calling on His name. That's something I can do. I can pray, and you can pray, until the walls come down, till there's healing all around. That's something you can do. You can pray in your secret place, calling on His name. That's something you can do. You can pray. I know you hear us, Lord, when we pray. Sunday mornings, I like to wake people up. Amen. Sometimes I look at a congregation, I'm thinking, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel, amen. And Ezekiel asked that question, and God asked the question, and Ezekiel said, thou knowest, Lord. Amen. But this song, it may not be something you would like to hear on Sunday morning, but it's something I like to sing to get people awake and stirred up. Amen. Amen.
Some people say that this old-time religion is just a thing of the past. But in this modern day that we're living, it's the only thing that will last. Now you may think that I'm a little old-fashioned. Well, friend, that's all right with me. For I'm so glad that I am a Christian, and from sin I have been set free. I know, there's no doubt about it. He's real in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. My burden, sin shackles fell from me, and His presence was surreal everywhere. Now that the load that I carry is lighter, and He's changed my gray skies to blue, my steps are now higher, for I have this assurance that His sweet love will carry me through. I know, there's no doubt about it. He's real in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Come go with me to a land over yonder He prepared for the pure and the true. It's a place where sickness and death cannot enter. I'm going, how about you? Maybe today, or maybe tomorrow, in return, in robes of pure white. I'm packing up now, getting my things together. Who knows, He may come tonight. I know, there's no doubt about it. He's real in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it.
Notice the older you get, the
It's just hard to get all that wind, amen, to sing that, but it's sure good to be saved. And the old time way is the only kind of way, amen. Yeah. People say, oh, we got to have something new. Well, 2,000 years has been good so far, amen. So we still do the old time way, amen. We'll sing one other song, and this song, I sung it Wednesday night, but it's my favorite song. Most of you know, but some of you don't, but about 3 years ago, I was at a church in Union City, California, sitting on a platform tuning my guitar, and my wife said somebody motioned for her to look up there, and I was laying down on top of my guitar with my head drooped down on the first step, and my heart wasn't beating, I wasn't breathing, and there were two nurses in the church, they did CPR, and then the ambulance came later on, they did CPR and put the paddles, and they told my wife, said, we're taking him to the hospital, his heart's not beating, he's not breathing, we're taking him to the hospital. So I'm guessing 20-25 minutes, my heart didn't beat. I had people beating on it, but it wasn't beating on its own. And my heart started beating on the way to the hospital. Of course, when it happens in your life, I mean, you have a problem with the brain, amen. That's the big danger. And so they put me in a hyperthermiated state for a couple of days. For a few young people, I was chilling for about 2 days, amen. And amen. I came to Christmas Day. Amen. Matter of fact, I did have issues up here for a long time. Christmas, I have a good friend in New Jersey. I call him every Christmas. So the third time I call him in the same hour, my daughter grabs the phone. She says, Pastor Clark, Dad does remember that he called you. He said, just let him call. Amen. I saw him later that year, and he said, Christmas is a big day for you. I said, yeah, that's the day I came to. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, you found out about it like 10 times. Amen. But, of course, my wife was playing music in the room 24 hours a day to try to help maybe bring my mind back. And Hallelujah. This is my first memory in the hospital, this song. Amen. I love the precious name of Jesus, for he has been so good to me. He saved me and he gave me life eternal. How I love this man from Galilee. Soon I know he's coming, so that we can live with him eternally. Oh, I was lost in sin when Jesus found me, and he reached way down and put his arms around me. He placed me on good or what?
Amen.
Amen. ever since that happened, people ask me how I'm doing. You know, usually when you ask someone how you're doing, you're just trying to get a conversation started, but I can tell they really mean it, you know, when they ask me. And sometimes a lot of people say, well, you look so good. And I'm thinking, that's what they say when you're in a casket. Oh, they look so good. You know? but I've been saying ever since that happened, it's better to be seen than viewed. Amen. So I'm glad you're seeing me this morning instead of viewing me. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Ever since my heart attack, I've been more emotional than I was before. There's something about your heart that's hooked up to that stuff, amen. But this morning especially, just seeing old friends. I've been coming to this island for 25 years, and just I've seen some of you grow up, and now I'm seeing your kids grow up, and it's just good to be here. Amen. You guys are so spoiled here, too. You know, you get this in heaven, too. I can't believe you guys. Amen. But I preached in Buffalo, New York, in January. Those people are retarded. I said, you know, you do have your choice where you live. You know, you don't have to live here. And, of course, I do have my choice in evangelism where I preach. But there I'm in Buffalo in January. Amen. Lord's got a sense of humor. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah is a great book. I love the book of Isaiah. Some people think two people wrote the book of Isaiah because there's such a difference between chapters 1 through 39 and chapters 40 through the end of the book. 1 through 39 is just a bunch of judgment, bunch of woes, W-O-E, bunch of woe unto them to do this, woe unto them to do that. And when you get to chapter 40, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. The whole thing changes when you get to chapter 40. Of course, there's 66 books in the Bible, 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, so it's kind of like a mini Bible. And when you get to here to chapter 40, it's just like when you get to the New Testament in the book of Matthew. Matter of fact, look in verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye. That's John the Baptist right there in chapter 40, just like Matthew. So a lot of similarities. But I love the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 40 here in verse, let's begin reading in verse 9. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. I want to preach this morning on Behold Your God. I just want to say we have an awesome God. And sometimes I feel like we read the Bible and we think God was different then than He is now. But since what happened to me happened, I've been saying God is huge. Amen. He still resurrects people. Amen. God is huge. Amen. He is. And so this morning, with the Lord's help, I want to just help you see how huge He is. I read a book years ago called Grace, and in the introduction of that book, it said to understand grace, there's two things you really need to understand. First of all, understand how great and how holy God is. And once you get that, then you look at how insignificant and sinful man is. And when you see how great and how holy God is and how insignificant and sinful man is, and that God would warn us. That's grace. Thank the Lord for grace. Amen. So first of all, we're going to look how big God is. Amen. Let's look in verse 12. It says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? You folks here know this. There's a lot of water.
Amen. Water, water everywhere. Amen. As a matter of fact, the earth is covered by probably 72-73% water. If you could bring all the ocean depths up, and if you could bring all the mountain peaks down to where everything's just a complete, just a perfect sphere, would be covered with a mile deep of water. A mile deep over the whole earth. And the Bible says he measures it in the hollow of his hand. I just like to say that's a big hand. Amen. And it reminds me of a verse in John chapter 10, verse 28, where he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I feel very secure in that hand.
Amen.
Amen. Nobody can pluck me. That's a huge hand, and I'm in there. Amen. And, you know, I talked to a guy. He said, "Oh, you could, once you got saved, you might could lose your salvation." And I showed him that verse where no man can pluck them out of my hand. He said, "Well, you can pluck yourself out. You're going to be doing a lot of jumping to get out of that hand." I just want to say this. If you ever got saved, you're going to heaven, like it or not. Amen. You might go to heaven kicking and screaming, but you're going, amen, because you got saved. You're in his hand. You're not getting out. Besides that, the Bible not only says we're in his hand, but we're preserved. Amen. Any of you ladies preserve stuff? Amen. It's getting to where nobody does that anymore. I forgot what kid we were expecting. We got seven. My wife says we have eight. I never figured that eighth one out. But I forgot which one we're expecting. I think Esther. And so, was it? Yeah, it was Esther. And so our pickle crop had come in, or our cucumber crop had come in. I had planted a thing of cucumbers that didn't come up, so I planted some more, and then both of them came up. Amen. I'm telling you, well, we had the cucumbers running out of our ears. So we had pickles running out of our ears. And I learned how to can. My wife, you know, she was expecting, so I had to help her. And so we'd put that stuff on the stove, you know, do the pressure cooking and all that. And sometimes it'd be late at night, so we'd get it out of the pressure cooker, put them on a dish towel, you know, and we'd lay there in the bed at night. You count, you got to count to 12. I mean, there's 12 of them, and you want to hear 12 times, amen. Sometimes it'd be only 11, so we knew we was eating pickles the next day, amen. Amen, because they're not going to keep. But listen, when I got saved, God preserved me. Amen. Can you imagine, let's say green beans. Can you imagine a rebel bean? I don't like it in here. I'm getting out of here. You're not getting out of there until the one that sealed you breaks the seal. Amen. I'm thankful I'm saved. Amen. I'm thankful God loves me. I'm thankful that he cares about me. And I'm thankful that I'm very, very secure in him. Amen. He keeps me. He's got a huge hand. I'm talking about our God, how huge he is. Let's look at this next thing here, again in verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span? Now we're talking about the universe. God, years and years and years and years ago, lived at this place. And after a while, he said, "I want to make this thing out here." And it's called the universe. He said, "I'm going to make this thing." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we're talking about the universe here. He meted out heaven with a span. It's so huge. And by the way, on Kauai, y'all got more stars than we got back home. I don't know how that worked out, amen. But, oh, y'all got a lot of stars out here, amen. But when God made this thing, he meted it out with a span. This place is so big, we had to come up with a term to help us for it not to be so many zeros. I'm talking about how many miles the universe is across. So we come up with light years. A light year, light travels 186,000 miles per second. That works out to about 700 million miles an hour. That's quick. So it works out to 6 quadrillion 132 trillion miles in a year, and that's a light year. And this universe is 92 billion light years across. So, don't get your calculators out, but so you multiply 92 billion times 6 quadrillion, 132 trillion, and all I know is you get 5 with about 23 zeros after it. That's how big this place is. Let me put it to you this way. If you could travel the speed of light, you would have to live to be 92 billion years old to go from one side of it to the other. That's huge. And he measures it with a span. That's a span. That's how God said, I'm going to create this thing out here, and I don't want it to get out of hand. I think I'll just make it that big. I'm just wanting you to know how big my God is. And you have what kind of problem? And he's your father? We're doing good. Amen. We're doing well. Amen. I'm glad he's my father. Amen. Yes. Huge. And not only that, he's so big, but look in verse 26 where it says, lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things? Now we're talking about the stars that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names in the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Now we're talking about stars. This universe we live in, I didn't know this when I was a kid. I mean, they just keep finding out new stuff. But we live in the Milky Way. That's our galaxy. I think it's about 100 light years across. They're estimated between 125 and 175 billion galaxies. Have I lost anybody? Yeah. All of us. We lost all of us right there. Amen. 125 to 175 billion galaxies. Milky Ways. In our Milky Way, it's estimated that we have 300 billion stars. And you can see them all from Kauai. Amen. 300 billion stars in the Milky Way. So let's just say that perhaps there's that many in all the other galaxies. So you multiply, we'll average that 125 billion galaxies times 300 billion stars, and you get like 5 with 28 zeros after it. Stars. Are y'all with me? What? No, you're not. Come on now, we got finite minds. We don't understand this stuff. But it's true whether we understand it or not, amen. His understanding is infinite, amen. So it's 5 with 28 zeros after it, stars, and he has them named. Are y'all getting this in here? He's got them named. That's a lot of zeros. I mean, like I said, we got 7 kids. The 7th one, we started having trouble. What are we going to name this kid? We've already used them all up, amen? What I'm saying is God is huge, and he's smart. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Why would he even bother? I really don't know, except for he's so smart, he don't even break a sweat doing it. Are y'all with me? I mean, I used to think it said he knew how many hairs were on your head. That's not what it said. The hairs are numbered. This one has a number. Thank you, Tim. I know it was on your ear. You didn't need it on your ear. I like it when these young guys that I used to know are getting old now. They got hair on their ears, amen, and they're losing them on their head. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But that one, the one that just flew out of my hand, that one had a number. God knows the number of that hair. Well, don't say of your ears. It just said your head. So maybe he don't have that one numbered. Amen.
He probably does.
Are you listening, though? He knows things. And He knows you. The sparrow, the Bible says, the sparrow doesn't fall without Him. Every sparrow that dies, God attends the funeral. So I'm just wanting you to know, whatever you're going through, God's there. He knows. Says He knows what we need before we ask Him. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we, yet without sin. I mean, he knows. I just want to say he's huge. He's vast. Not only is He big, but He's holy. We got this new church coming in. Has some good points, has a lot of bad points, but one of the worst points about it, you don't hear much about the holiness of God in these new churches that are coming up. You don't hear much about worldliness. God's number one attribute is not love. It's holiness. I mean, they're not going around the throne saying love, 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 love. They're saying holy, 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 holy. God's holy. Without sin. Sin never crossed His mind. He can't be touched with sin. Jesus Christ was sinless, never considered a thought of sin. He's so far removed from sin. God's holy. When you look at and see how huge God is, how holy God is, I'm getting depressed already. Now let's talk about us. How insignificant we are. Can I help you with that? God made this thing. 6 day, made a bunch of stuff. When He got done with almost everything, then He bends down on the ground and He scoops up what I used to say was dirt. But it didn't say dirt. It said dust. You can get money for dirt. Dust is worthless. And He scooped up some dust and breathed in it. And here we are, animated dust balls. That's what we are. Now, you might think you're pretty, you might think you're handsome, you might think you're this and you're that, but hey, 30 days after they bury you, we don't want to see you. You're not going to be all that impressive because you're going back to what you came from. You were dust. That's what. Are y'all getting this? That's what we are. We're dust. And we think we're so smart. And some of us, I mean, we even, you know, well, with God, you. Dust accusing the guy that breathed into Him the breath of life, and we're accusing Him, we're judging Him. Now, you're not going to judge God. Let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible says that at the great white throne, every mouth will be stopped. We can't point our fingers at God. We're just dust. We're insignificant. Not only are we insignificant, we're sinful. We're sinful. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those seven children we didn't teach any of them how to sin. It's on the inside. That's what we are. We're sinners. When we sin, that don't make us sinners. We're sinners, and that makes us sin. That's what we are. We're sinners. We've all gone out of the way, the Bible says. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. We're a mess. We're sinful. He's holy. But yet, He's mindful of us. I went to the Creation Museum just out of Cincinnati. And for extra, you can go to the planetarium, which I paid the extra because I thought a planetarium was where you could look through telescopes. I mean, I'm from Tennessee. I didn't know. Well, it was a movie theater. So we got in these seats, and they turned the lights out. These seats moved up like this. You're looking on a dome ceiling, and they start showing you the universe. I mean, the Earth and the sun and how far we're away and how many Earths will go inside the sun, and then the next closest star to the sun and how many suns will go inside this huge star, and the next closest star and how many of that huge star will go inside of this huge star. And by the second star, the solar system has disappeared. Are y'all with me? It's disappeared. We're so far away. You can't see the sun. You can't see the solar system. And then they get further and further out. And finally, they leave the Milky Way. So you see this big elliptical 300 billion stars. Now you're in another place, and you're looking at the nebulas and all the things that are going on. You're getting further and further out. And now the Milky Way just looks like one star instead of 300 billion of them. And then after a while, the Milky Way has disappeared. And you just keep getting farther and farther back, 125 to 175 billion galaxies away. And finally, it just seems like you're right here where God was. And I had a thought go through my mind. I thought, what is man that thou art mindful of him? As insignificant and as sinful as we are, God thinks about us. His mind, mindful, his mind is full of us. It was so full of us that 2,000 years ago, his son left here and went into this thing that he made. Came all the way down through all those galaxies, came down to the Milky Way, came down to the solar system, came down to the Earth, came down to Israel, came down to a little virgin's womb. That's pretty far down. I'm talking about him. That's what he did. Grew up, went into the ministry, all the people he healed, all the lepers that he cleansed, the dead that he raised. Never man spake like this man. I mean, what a. I mean, John said if everything he said and did were written in a book, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain it. 3.5 years, I mean, packed. Of course, he would pack 3.5 years. And then they arrested him. They arrested him. Well, he had to let them. You don't arrest him. They arrested him. Why? He was mindful of us. They arrested him. They beat him with reeds. They blindfolded him and beat him and said, "Prophesy, who hit you?" Who hit him? He knew their DNA. But the Bible says he opened not his mouth. Why? Because he's mindful of us. They spit on him. They mocked him. They hung him up on a cross. His father turned his back on him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he became sin for us and God's holy and he can't look on it. He gave up the ghost. They buried him. They buried him. On the third day, hey, you're not going to keep him down. He rose from the dead. Resurrected. Came back here. Triumphing over sin, Satan, the grave, death, all he's triumphing over all of it. Because he was mindful of us. about 47 years ago, he left here and came down to this thing that he made. He came down to the Milky Way, came down to the solar system, came down to the earth, came down to Nashville, Tennessee, came down to Dickerson Road Baptist Church, came down to the fourth row from the back. He came down farther than that. And Psalm 113 said he raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy out of the dunghill. He came to the fourth row from the back, and he got a fork and started digging in a dunghill where I was. David said he lifted me up also in a horrible pit. I was in a horrible place. I was a sinner. When I was a kid, my grandparents owned a little mini farm, I guess you'd call it. Had a little pond at the bottom. And I love to go fishing, still do. I go behind the house, grab my cane pole. Never had to go to a bait shop because we had cows. None of y'all understand that, amen. But I get that cane pole, go behind the barn where all the cows fellowship, and I get me a fork and stick that fork in that manure. Lift that stuff over, and the biggest, juiciest night crawlers you've ever seen, they're in that manure, amen. Listen, that place stunk so bad, you would think when I lifted that thing up and those things were in that clod, they would be thanking me and just be jumping out of there into my hand. They love it in there. That's why they're there. They suck themselves back in. Sometimes you pull it in half, amen. You have to break the thing all apart to get the whole worm out, amen. And that's why we are. We're sinners. We like that mess. But he stuck that fork in the ground, lifted it over, and there I was. I saw the light, smelled the fresh air, and he says, "You want out?" I said, "I want out." He saved me. He's mindful of me, and he saved me. And I want to report to you this morning that I'm not just a saved worm. There in Psalm 113, the next verse after it says, "Lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people." I'm a child of the King. I'm not a saved worm. I'm a child of the King. Amen. He is my Father. He invites me to come to him anytime I want to and talk to him. He tells me he'll supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. Him. I want you to know this morning, no matter what, where you are spiritually, he's mindful of you. You're not here by accident this morning. First of all, if you've never let him dig you up out of that pit, horrible pit, I want you to know this morning that he's mindful of you. He's thinking about you. And he'll pull you out of that mess. He wants you. As sinful as we are, as insignificant as we are, he gave his only begotten Son because he's mindful of us. I'm just saying, if he is mindful of me and came down to where I was and offered me to, you can get out of this mess and you can be my child. I'm saying, you know, when I was 18, I wasn't real smart, but I knew a good deal when I saw one. If you're not saved here this morning, you don't even know what life is. Because as far as you're concerned, listen, are you listening? For lost people, All life is being a consumer and a producer. That's all life is. No purpose. But when you're saved, there's purpose. And we know this is not it. We know this is the beginning of it. And you can know Him. Know Him. So, if you're not saved, I want to invite you this morning to come to Him. He came to you, and He's coming to you right now. The night I got saved, it was a Tuesday night. It was a youth meeting. I remember that pastor said, if you'll just come to Jesus, He'll save you. And in my heart, I said, I'm coming. God save me. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. When my heart changed, when my heart said yes to Jesus Christ, that's when I got saved. So if you're not saved this morning, I'm just telling you, that's the best. You must be born again. It's not just something nice that happened to me. It better happen to you. And if you are saved, why wouldn't you give everything you have, every fiber of your being, why wouldn't you give that to Him? When I, Brother Norm, when I read that He's mindful of us, I mean, here, His mind is full of animated dust balls. Am I getting this wrong, or should it be animated dust balls, minds being full of Him? Amen. So what's the problem about presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which reasonable, that's reasonable. I mean, that animated dust ball, it's just reasonable that we'd give everything to Him. Can we pray? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I want to ask just a couple of questions while your heads are bowed. And listen, I don't know what you're used to, but I do not come back to anybody. I do not embarrass anybody. But I want to help you. If you're here this morning and in your heart you said, you know, I don't know if I know Him or not. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go up to be with Him. I really don't know. But you're thinking about it, and you're concerned about it, and you'd let me pray for you. Would you lift your hand up just real quickly and put it back down? You don't even have to say anything. Just lift your hand up real quick, put it down, and I'll pray for you. Pray for me, preacher. I don't know. I really don't know. All right. Is there somebody who say, preacher, I am saved. I got you. Good. Thank you. You say, preacher, I'm saved, but He doesn't have all of me. I'm always holding back something. But I realize this morning He is mindful of me, and I need to be mindful of Him. Pray for me, preacher. I just need to give Him everything I got. Raise your hand. God bless you all over. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Good. Okay. Father, we love You. Thank You for being mindful of insignificant, sinful people. And thank You, You are so mindful. You said You spared not Your only begotten Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Thank You, Jesus, for being willing to come down here and suffer what You suffered, because You were mindful of us. Lord, for somebody here this morning that's not saved, I pray You'd help them to see that right now You're thinking about them. And right now You'd like to make them one of Your own. And You would forgive them of their sins, and You would make them Your son. Now God, please do a work in this invitation, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. We're going to take our hymn books. Go to hymn number 118.